to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to our video today, a continuation of God's determination. But before we do that, just for the sake of someone new watching today, number one, we're doing these videos so that you will begin to learn how to let God become real in your life, so that there is what I call tangibility. In other words, the people here on earth, you didn't marry a love letter, you married a person. The tangibleness of that person and the time you spend with them is the reason why you have testimonies. Well, it's nonetheless with our relationship with God. And just because we think he's unseen doesn't mean that you can't see. And it doesn't mean that you can't feel. It doesn't mean that you can't sense his presence. So God becoming real in your life, number one. Number two, in the realness of God, you begin to respond to him, which is called faith. Faith shouldn't be so worked up. It shouldn't be such a huge deal. It shouldn't be something that you work so hard for, because really the closeness and the tangibility of the relationship just naturally causes you to respond to the things he says, the things he does. In fact, look at what Jesus would be the number one faith chapter hero in Hebrews chapter 11, where it lists all these patriarchs who by faith did all the things they did. Well, Jesus would be the number one. Why? He said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it, and I don't say anything unless I see or hear my Father say it. What does that speak of, everyone? Well, that speaks of the tangibility and the connection that he had with his Father, which means he was always interacting with him, and his responses to his Father was nothing more than his faith. And that's the reason why Jesus had so much taking place in his life, so many miracles, signs, and wonders, and so many people loved him, because there was something real about him, and there's something real about you. Well, number three, we want to take our testimonies to people, not just our scriptures. Thank God for the scriptures that back up the testimonies that back up the scriptures. But you want to have testimonies. In fact, how long have you known your spouse? How many testimonies do you have? Well, I dare say you have a bushel basket full of them every single day because of your encounter with the one that you love. Well, shouldn't we have a bushel basket full of experiences with the encounter that we have, which is with Jesus? I think you got the point. So now the invitation from the Lord over in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30, and it says just this. But now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. What a great invitation. Hard to not quote that or read that without wanting to pause for just a moment and just think about it and just let that settle down into your heart. How much our Father is determined by sending his Son to die for our sin, remove them all, and provide access into the throne of God, where spiritually speaking and even physically and mentally, we can begin to experience God as though he was real, because he is. Think about that. What an inclusion that we have. The whole world has the invitation. No one's left out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be sozoed, saved, delivered, set free, preserved, protected, healed. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Well, let's just jump into this now, because we know we've been talking about this with God and his desire for us to walk in covenant. Now, just quickly, I'll just go back to Hebrews chapter 6, 13 and just start reading. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Just very simply, God cut the covenant with himself. He did not cut the covenant with man. We're going to see in just a little bit, when Abraham tried to help God with the covenant, God kind of knocked him out. You know what I mean? He went into a deep sleep in darkness, and he began to see faintly what was happening before him, but Abraham was not participating in it. Why? If Abraham participated in the cutting of the covenant, all Abraham had to do is fail once, and the covenant is off. The agreement is nullified. Folks, this is why God cut the covenant with himself, and this is tantamount to saying the reason why we just worshiped the Lord Jesus just recently over his death, burial, and resurrection, which obviously is something you should be doing every single day. But nonetheless, that worship and that praise of God, our Savior, is how God cut the covenant with Jesus on behalf of you. This covenant cannot be messed up. We're going to see it in just a little bit. Well, he goes on to say that here, for men indeed swear by the greater, and the oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Do you realize mankind understands if you want to end every single argument and bring it right down to a principle, put it inside of an agreement and a covenant that by law cannot be broken. Therefore, if someone tries to back out and say, you know what, I'm not going to do it, you can hold their feet to the fire and say, according to the bylaws, according to the covenant that we have, you have to actually do it, or I have to go to the authorities and they will make you do it. So one way or the other, you're going to do it. Now, the beauty of that is it gives us the strength of character and the boldness of our purpose to step beyond ourselves. Do you know how scary it is to let go of what you think you can hold on to? Do you know how many people will not let go to the very thing that they desire? I had someone texting me and emailing me, and they're just kind of demanding that I pray this prayer and make some things happen in their lives because it's taken too long and it needs to happen. And I'm telling you, I'm getting so worked up that it's not happened yet and it needs to take place. Do you know what I wrote them back? Can you figure out what I would write them back after hanging out with me all these sessions? I wrote them back and I said, the very thing you desire is hindered by the fact that you've made the thing that you desire so great that it's in the way of God. Just hang out with God for a while. Allow yourself to be content with Jesus and Jesus alone, and then he'll not only prepare you for what you need, it'll just come, it'll find you. Well, she wrote me back and she said, well, I'm gonna try, but you know how hard this is, and I'll tell you, I don't like it when people say things like that. I want it right now. It kind of sounds a little bit like somebody just needs to relax. In fact, there's a scripture over there in Matthew chapter 6 in the Message Bible. Jesus said, what I'm trying to get you to do is relax and stop being so intent on getting so that you can actually receive what I'm giving. Wow, that says a lot. It kind of sounds just like what I said. You're in your own way. Now, we keep on going, and this is where I wanted to go. Verse 17, it says, thus God, in other words, if man can put people in reminder by bringing them into a contract by law, thus God, determining to show more abundantly, what did he do? He sealed and signed everything he said and everything he would do inside of a covenant so it could not be broken, and he cut the covenant with himself. Now, run quickly right over to Genesis chapter 15, because verse 1 in the Message Bible, we're going to start here by seeing that it always wasn't this way for Abraham. The strength of his character was fueled by the covenant. Abraham did not always have this. Now, one of the reasons why we know God chose Abraham for what was getting ready to happen is because God saw that Abraham was an individual who would perpetuate down through the generations. He would reveal to son and grandson and great-grandson and down through as many generations as he could touch, he would pass on the message, the information, and the tangibility of the relationship. That's why God chose him. He wasn't just gonna come in one day, get something, leave and say, nuts with you, I'm going my own way. Abraham was honorable enough to not only get a hold of the revelation, but pass it on to future generations. That's a real strong statement. Verse 1, Genesis 15. After these things, the word of God came to Abram in a vision. Don't be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward will be grand. This is covenant talk, where your partner will actually take up arms on your behalf. We have a partner in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what, he already fought the devil, and the Holy Ghost with you will empower you to walk over the head of Satan no matter what he tries to do. You don't have to try to dot his I. Jesus laid him out. I'm telling you what, walk over the devil. He's under your feet. That's what Jesus did. And it goes on to say, Abraham said, well, God, master, what use are your gifts as long as I'm childless and Eliezer of Damascus is going to inherit everything? Abraham continued, see, you've given me no children, and now a mere house servant is going to get it all. Then God's message came and said, don't worry, he won't be your heir. A son from your body will be your heir. Then he took him outside and said, look at the sky. Okay, hey, hold, stop right here. Why'd he take him outside? Well, I love this for many, many reasons, and I don't have time to talk to all about it. But this is really awesome. What's God getting ready to do? He's getting ready to settle with finality the questions that are going to cause Abraham to not move forward in the promise. So he's got to stop those questions and settle his heart in something that's so absolute that Abram will stand the test, will stay the course, and will believe. And what does he do? He says, go outside. What are you going to do when you go outside? Look at the sky. Well, what does that mean to Abram? It means everything. You say, why? Because he was a moon worshiper before he met God. When do you worship the moon? And what direction do you look when you're worshiping the moon? Do you look at the ground or do you look to the sky? You look at the sky. Guess what is out there when you're worshiping the moon? The next thing he said was what? He said, look at the sky. Now count the stars if you can and see if you can number them. So shall your descendants be. Wow, do you get it? If you don't, let me really quickly say this. God gave Abraham something that he was already aware of and accustomed to. He already had an affinity to the idea of being very conscious of the stars, the sky, the moon. This isn't his first rodeo, folks. It's not the first time he looked up in the sky. This is something Abram used to do continually and consistently. So what did God do? God brought him back to something that was already real to him so that he could use that as a means of connecting his heart to God in the spirit and fulfilling the promise. Pretty awesome. And then it goes on to say what? And it says, you're going to have a big family, Abram. And he believed. He believed God, it says in the Message Bible. God declared him set right with God. Well, the King James says he put it on his credit, like he had a credit card with God, that you are righteous. Because he wasn't righteous, but he put it to his account that he was righteous. And that had everything to do with the forecasting and the foretelling of the Son of God that would show up and redeem the world and bring righteousness to those who would receive him. Okay, this is really good. I'm looking at my time. 13 minutes right now. We got to hurry here. But this is so good. What is God doing with Abram? He's developing inside of him the ability to stand strong and have resolve. Folks, I've been saying this for years, and don't get offended. If you do, I can't help that because it's still true. But I've been saying for years, people are still excited about faith as long as they don't have to use theirs. And you say, what do you mean? Well, it just reveals where people are at. The greatest majority of believers are not confident in their own faith. And why? Because they singled out faith as its own subject. And they're trying to work up their own faith. Where if you hung out with God, if you spent time tangibly with him, you would be responding to God moment by moment, which would be an expression of your faith. And your faith in someone that's real to you will stand and not buckle when something doesn't look like it's going right. Are you hearing me? Man, this is so good. I hope you're getting this. It's not good because I'm preaching it. I mean, someone else I'm sure could do a much better job. It's good because it's the kind of material that'll make you rock solid on the inside and give you the heart to believe in God. Stop believing just in you. Believe in Him. Live out of the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. Galatians 2, verse 20. All right, going on, it says, I am the same God who brought you from the Ur of the Chaldeans, gave you this land to own. Abram said, well, Master, how do I know I'm going to get this land? And how do I know it's going to be my own? And God said, bring me a heifer, a goat, a ram, 3 year old, let's see, each 3 years old, and a dove and a pigeon. Well, time out for a second. He just questioned him again. He said, I've given you this land. He said, well, how do I know I'm going to inherit this land? Again, he's got questions about what God already previously told him. Which, what does that say? As long as you're questioning what God said and you don't have the audacity to put yourself in the position to inherit, to embrace, and to receive what God said. See, when God says what he says, he's saying it from his position so that things will change and look like it down on the earth, but he needs a receptacle to receive what he said. So when God says something like you're healed and you're free from cancer, and then the doctors say you're full of cancer, you've got two different opinions. So which opinion are you going to believe? It kind of sounds like Elijah on Mount Carmel. Which report will you believe? Well, see, when it's rock solid that God's answer is not just an answer, it's not just a promise, but it's a result to your physical body, to your pocketbook, to the marriage that you have, to your kids being saved. It's results. It's not just a promise by someone that's lame that won't bring or won't make good on their promise. No, it's rock solid, 100%. Well, what's God getting ready to do with these animals and with these pigeons and a dove? He's going to cut a covenant with Abram. And I'm going to have to stop there, but I'll just say this. God said, bring me these animals. Did he say to do anything else with the animals? Or just bring me the animals. He said, just bring me the animals. And it says, Abram brought all these animals to him. That's all God said. Then it goes on to say, he split them down the middle and laid the halves opposite each other, but he did not split the birds. God didn't tell him to do any of that. So where did all that come from? This is going to be interesting. I'm going to leave you hanging, okay, until our next session. And I've gone so long, I'm just going to say this. I've got a great testimony here, a grace story. But I'm just going to say this. If you can look at flowers, birds, a mountaintop, a beach, go into the woods, and feel the presence of God, there is no connection to Him for your healing, for the victory in your marriage, for the victory in your life, for the peace of God in your life, for the finances you need. There is no greater connection than just having that simple connection. It's all supposed to be just that real. Have any of you stopped long enough to consider the things that are around you that God has made? Let your heart be endeared to them. No, this is not some earth science thing. It's not some new age. This is just finding God in the world that we live, so that you can find Him everywhere in the world that you live. See you next time. God bless you.